Welcome back to Rastax Sunday. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Dennis Johnson. In the studio, we have Trevor Brown, the president of the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers, and he's an electrical engineer. And the structural engineer is Mr. Grenville Phillips II, and the mechanical engineer is Mr. George Nicholson, and the architect is the president of the Barbados Institute of Architects, Mr. Christian Marshall. And of course, we're talking about the Bridgetown Transformation Project. And gentlemen, one of the main things that came up in the first 2 hours or so that we were here is that there needs to be a long-term vision of Barbados and that most people can buy into or at least agree to in some form or fashion. We were just before the break, we were talking, and Joanne, thank you so much for calling and clarifying everything. We were talking about the whole development of the Fairchild Street Market as well. Now, let's look at the bigger question. The whole transformation of Bridgetown. We had the caller. I suspect he's an architect based on what he was saying. Who was talking about the holistic vision in terms of our history, historic Bridgetown? What should we be looking at? In your humble opinions, what should we be looking at in terms of Bridgetown, historic Bridgetown? How can we transform this Bridgetown to make it a place where people would want to live in it, work in it, play here, and make it a vibrant city? How can we do that?
But in many ways, he started to talk about that by building on your strengths. Mm-hmm. And
what are our strengths?
Strength is a funny word to use, but the things that the assets that you find yourself blessed with.
The heritage
aspects are significant. I mean, there are not many places in the world that really, where the slave code was actually developed. It was actually Barbados. There are not many places in the world with the kind of climate that you have in Barbados, and the kind of beach lines that we have, and the kind of internal communication ease, even compared to other Caribbean islands with their mountainous terrain and volcanic. Barbados is a specially blessed place, and it's something that we need to build on, which is why it particularly annoys me, the disregard we have for our coastline, that we allow it to be used willy-nilly. I actually think that what is actually missing in Barbados is an overarching, clear, guiding hand on how we develop the country. And he started the discussion by talking about historical heritage. I agree with that. The whole history of Bridgetown, with the way that the British soldiers, for example, set up a garrison here and redeveloped this. This used to be a swamp. And they redeveloped that is of historical and engineering significance that can be built on. Mm-hmm. The whole garrison compound area.
And the tunnels. We haven't even discussed the tunnels.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are numerous aspects of Barbadian culture that can be built on. Quite apart from the normal things we talk about culture, I mean, to have produced people like Sobers, for example, and Elbar, and even the Arkham, I mean, I can name you large countries in the world that would do well with leadership like we have in Barbados now. I don't really want to talk about
Grenville Phillips.
Yes.
What do we need here to do to make Bridgetown beautiful and Barbados better?
Yes. First, because I'm of the opinion that when the place is flooded out, the first thing you do is turn off the tap. Right? Turn off the tap first and then go and look at the other things. Right now, every single building in Barbados is vulnerable to being demolished. Everyone. If you want to demolish the central bank, just let the unions call out the people. Let some government official declare it's a sick building and condemn it for use, and then call in a contractor and demolish it. Because that's the method that we're using right now. So something has gone wrong. We need to strengthen that weak link of making a decision to demolish an important building. A six-story or a seven-story height building. That's what the National Insurance Building is. A seven-story height building of six stories. You should not just be able to make a decision to demolish it
willy-nilly.
Well, you didn't want to use that word, but willy-nilly, to use Colonel Brung's word, it just makes no sense. Not in 2020.
Agreed.
So we need to turn off the tap. We need to, I don't want to say restrict the power, but we need to have some logical way of determining when do you demolish a 7-story height building in Barbados. And it cannot be because someone condemned it for use, because the next stage after that is, what do we do with it?
Right.
So that is missing. So Joanne Haig came on and said, well, you know, we don't worry about the past. Something to that effect, and we will be concentrating on the future going forward on this. We need to put a stake in the ground and decide, how are we going to determine that we can save our buildings? Because, as I said, right now, the central bank can be demolished using the current procedure that we are using. Every building is vulnerable. So after that, then we can now have a discussion on what we can do to deal with the British Tongue, because we've now saved the buildings. They are all on death row right now. Every building in Barbados is on death row right now based on the way we're going forward. So we need to change that so that we issue a, you know, you're no longer on death row. We let them out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
And then deal with them. If it's a sick building...
Well, should we be looking at
development? One thing though, if it's a sick building, do not call in the undertaker. Right? What do you do if it's a sick building? Call in the doctor. If you value your limbs, do not call for an amputation. Get a second opinion. If someone decides that is a building that should be demolished, get a second opinion. Do not call in an amputation and amputate your foot. You must care about your foot. So if we care, if we are strict guardians of our heritage... We do not allow people to just, not really allow people, but we just don't make the decision to demolish, to cut off limbs, to take these extreme measures. Let's look at it. Let's have a second opinion. So if someone says they're sick and they need to be demolished, let's publish that report and let's take a look at it. That's all I'm saying.
From an architectural perspective, Mr. Marshall, mm-hmm. what should we be looking at to make Bridgetown, to enhance the beauty of Bridgetown?
That's a very big question. I will. The problem we have right now is the inability to do anything. For I guess 30 years, I've been talking about the development of the Pierhead project and whatnot, and the whole South Coast, I would say between Accra and Bridgetown, has just degenerated year after year after year to the point where it's very run down at this point in time. So action is required. We need to get things done. From an architectural point of view, historically, Bridgetown has it's a historical scale. You know, 3, 2, 3, 4 stories, maybe even 5 stories. I have heard, I have seen, I have I've listened to many officials, whatever the other title they may have, that appear to have a Singapore view of the Barbados development. Which is lots of high-rise buildings and whatnot, and it's an economic view, and it's all driven by land value and the economic value of Barbados and whatnot, which is in direct conflict with the heritage scale and structures of Bridgetown itself. So, if we had been focused and active over the last 30 years. Bridgetown would not be where it is now. It would still be vibrant at a smaller scale, and we won't be facing this situation now where we have big stretches of land that are open and ripe for development. Developers are coming in. The land is priced very high. The only development option then is high rise. You know, there has to be an economic component to any development. So it's a bit of a vicious circle. So I can't say what the right answer is, but it needs to be a delicate balance between the heritage and the modern economic development.
A lot of people are curious about whether all these developments that we are talking about going forward, if we are not in danger of losing our World Heritage Site status. Because, you know, as you said, Singapore-type development, which is looking at the economic value, building high rises, and they will not complement the whole heritage World Heritage Site status.
Mm-hmm. Well,
your perspective.
Well, I'm not the right person to speak to that. I don't have the knowledge of the critical criteria for that heritage status. Mm-hmm. I believe it was built upon, you know, the layout of the town and whatnot, not necessarily the physical buildings, although there would be some buildings that are critical to that nature. So I think we need to establish what those finite lines are, so we know where we can develop and what we can do, so that we don't put that heritage status in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. And George, let's get you in. You were talking just now about quite correctly a holistic approach, a holistic vision, which is the same thing that both Grenville and Colonel Brown were talking about. But you would just be more specific, focusing on the transportation aspect in particular, and showing the link between in that whole concept. Are we ready as a population for this? Do you get that sense that the policymakers understand that they need to take this approach?
I'm sure that they understand. I don't want to disparage any policymakers' capabilities. But I'll just use an example of when there's a big event. They go out and they establish park and ride centers for an appeal to people to use them. Yet you have people getting parking tickets on Spring Garden Highway because I want the freedom of to be able to come and go when I want. You're asking what you can do to make Bridgetown more beautiful and somewhere that people want to come to. Well, if I'm going to get out of my comfort zone, my house, my office, and come to Bridgetown as my first option when I want to do business, it has to be easy for me to get in, park, get out. And if you don't have a structure or transportation structure that supports that, then there's no reason for me to come into Bridgetown. You get a Bridgetown that's full of shops that are mostly selling the same thing, tourists that are walking through, and taxi men looking to pick up a fare or cars passing through it. I have absolutely no desire to be in Bridgetown if I can help it. So you have to create an environment that makes it easy for me to choose Bridgetown as my my destination when I want to shop, to do business, to meet people. You know, I can go anywhere on the South Coast. Why would I go to a restaurant in Bridgetown? I have nowhere to park. I have to walk, you know, half a mile to get to the meeting point, and I have to go through a lot of traffic. If you create a fixed transport system, which could be a mini tram that comes and goes to a park and ride location very easily, or if you have high-rise parking somewhere in close proximity, then the decision becomes easier for people to make, and it becomes more attractive for people to locate their businesses in Bridgetown. Right now, the appeal of going to a Sheraton Mall or a Dome Mall is that you don't have to go into Bridgetown. That's the first thing that they tell you on the ad. You know, why go to Bridgetown?
Yeah, I agree. The alternative to that is to create situations where it makes sense for people to come into Bridgetown. And we explore the possibility, for example, of training centers where people who actually work because of the proximity to the bus stand, or people who study, who do evening classes at university, for example, if they can actually come into Bridgetown to do their classes and then get on the bus and go, because typically a young student may not have transportation. So there's a large flow of traffic from Cairfield to town to get home. So, I mean, I'm sure, as well as a lot of shows that currently compete with sports in the gymnasium, for example, if they could be relocated to a renovated Empire Theater, for example, or some amphitheater in town in a pleasant atmosphere with easy transportation to home when you finish art, or transportation to a parking zone, you know, by electric tram or something like that. That kind of thinking. But the problem is that what we need is a centralized, overarching plan that looks, as George said, at all of the various options. You cannot just look at breathalyzer without looking at the implications for transportation, for example, for what it's going to do to the kind of businesses, that the entertainment type businesses that we've developed in Barbados. There needs to be a coordinated, overarching national approach to how we plan everything. This idea that a little group can get together. It was interesting listening to Joanne explain the dilemma that they actually face. But part of that comes from the fact that there are too many isolated groups trying to work on their own isolated problem before being aware of the impact they have on other groups. And then when it becomes news and they discover suddenly, oh, I impact on what they're doing, or they don't like what I'm doing because they have different plans, then you see the value of having had that discussion at a higher level and resolving those problems up front and then coming up with plans that actually meet the requirements of all the various groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, take a couple of calls. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Mr. Price.
How are you today, Mark?
I've waited so long, I hope that I can at least get my points across. I want to tell the gentleman there that don't have to worry. Shortly, you'll be able to go and buy a drone and get where you want to go. Technology, years to come, will at least enhance that.
No, but these drones are bad.
I was just going to tell him that.
Don't let's question it. Everything can be possible. You just said it, that all the buildings can be demolished. Just let me let my statement go and don't try to defend it. I am saying that we are trying to put new wine into old caskets, old casks. We are trying to load our guns or muskets with old weapons, old bullets. What I'm hearing here this morning is a whole situation of where are we going? Talk, talk, talk. Gentlemen, this city of Bridgetown was named after the Indian Bridge. And if you go back to the history, you would realize that from the inception, it said it was Institute, unhealthy to live in, bog or morass. What it's trying to say, as far back as then, Bridgetown was not anything for anybody to live in. We have since seen business people invest in the buildings in Bridgetown. Today's buildings in Bridgetown are for hazards, just like the streets, where you have buildings in Bridgetown that are rented for high rates. No exit, just entrance, no exit in case there's a fire. This is what we're talking about as far as Bridgetown is concerned. You're talking about demolishing a building that is 42 years old, but you have a building that is 98 years old standing, just the shell of it is standing, at least to be refurbished. You're talking about demolishing a building that is 65 years old, but you've got a building 98 years old standing, waiting to be refitted. Now, I'm saying part of our problem, gentlemen, I want to be fair to you all, part of our problem is that we are avoiding what this country needs. We are sending school our children. We are taking our children to and educating them. We are giving our children an opportunity to be the families of tomorrow, and we are taking away from them what they want to get involved in. College, polytechnic, all these places got young people who have got ideas, who can be creative in transforming Bridgetown. But we have a lot of old wine going into new casts, so there's a problem. We have not spoken anything about getting opinions yet from the schools of Barbados, the fifth formers, the sixth formers. We have not talked about doing what we did in 1966, giving somebody an opportunity to design a flag, to design an anthem. We're thinking that we have the answers to the problem. We don't have the answers to the problem, because we would have to demolish, sir, the whole of Fairchild Street, whole of Lower Bay Street, and the whole of Proven Street, based on what the moderator just asked, how would we fit that? Now, when you look at the lower end of Bay Street, check all the buildings on the lower end of Bay Street, ready to be demolished. When you look at Fairchild Street, cross Fairchild Street, Speedbird Building, there as a hazard. Nothing has been done so far with that building. But we're talking about demolishing for a park. We're not talking about demolishing for a park with a name. We're talking about a freedom park. We're still not free. We're still not free. What we need to understand, gentlemen, is that we have to build a Barbados suitable for all of us and not for a particular group. Because when we talk, we have to talk for the future. We have to talk for our children. We have to talk for our children's children. We have to give our children an opportunity to be part of a development as far as the country is concerned. But I'm hearing gentlemen of my age, because I could only deal with history, I'm hearing qualified gentlemen sitting there this morning, and only one person I relate to, trying to move to the fact that our young people, we have to move in the direction of young people. What is wrong with the planners in this country? Ministry of Education, Ministry of this, and say, well, look, we want to reconstruct Barbados. We want to be able to give Barbados to the world in a different form. Just so we have old San Juan and new San Juan. But we want to give it in the sense not a group of people sit down behind a computer or sit down in an air conditioning room and decide within themselves that this is what Barbados should be. Open up the gates. Open up the gates. In all fairness to you gentlemen there, you have done Barbados well. But they can't guarantee that you will do Barbados well in the future, because what I'm hearing from you, what I'm hearing from you is the same old Barbados.
I don't think that's fair, Mark, quite frankly. Because I one the first point that was made and has been continuously made is that we need a vision, an overall vision that most Barbadians can buy into. In fact, if it's anything that came out of this program so far, it is that.
For our grandchildren.
So, you know, I really think that is it. So I don't agree with your assessment at all. But I do understand your contribution, and I want to thank you for it. We have to move to another call. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. You're on the air. All right, we got another one. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon to you, Sankar.
Hi, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you, and yourself. And good afternoon to your guests as well.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, Sankar, Bridgetown has a history and has been founded on a system which has never been particularly kind or humane to the majority of Barbadians. Bridgetown is a place where slaves were landed and auctioned off. I'm told there's still a platform in Queen's Park where the slaves were actually sold off as chattel. Bridgetown is a place where black Barbadians were whipped and locked up in steel cages for just going into the city to sell their little agricultural produce. And I'm of the opinion that part of that unfortunate legacy persists with us up to now. It is my perception that black Barbadians don't have a particularly large stake in the ownership and the economic activity of Bridgetown. I'll just leave that there. I want to posit that any real development of a space or of a country ought to focus on the development of your human capital. And I'm thinking of dignified participation, input, and ownership based on merit and fair opportunities. Now, I sincerely hope that the majority of black Barbadians would be entitled and empowered to secure just and fair benefits, not only from the Bridgetown redevelopment initiative, but from the country at large. There's a building, I think we all would agree that an ounce of prevention is worth, I don't know, a ton of cure. There's a building in Bridgetown, the Dale Carnegie Building, which has been vacated for some time now, that I understand the government pays rental fees for the current building used as the library. Now, I heard Professor Henry Fraser almost reduced to tears trying to explain the beauty, the historic significance of that building and so on, and pointing out that actually to restore and maintain it would not actually be very costly. He was saying it was just a matter of changing some major beam or column. So I want to know if the authorities are going to show good faith by at least doing some immediate remedial work on the Dale Carnegie Building rather than allowing it to fall into further disrepair.
Let me break in here before you go on to your final point. Last week, Thursday, in the Daily Nation, there was a story, in fact, it was in the center of the paper, where Minister John King was speaking about the whole development of that Dale Carnegie building, as well as the high courts, which have been closed for several years as well. And he gave a cost of several million dollars, I think it's about $10 million or so, and that would be needed to redevelop that entire space. So I'm just throwing it out there for those who would not have seen it.
Well, thank you for that. But I'm saying in the media, you know, it's the same, where the grass is green, the horse is starving. And I still think that Professor Henry Fraser's point is valid, which is you don't need to do a lot to actually make the building fit, at least when he said that. I'm not sure about the condition now. It can actually be inhabited rather than being left on it. Quite of you know what happens to buildings when they're not being utilized, right? But finally, on a more prosaic point, there is a public facility in the Stella Street area, and the sign with the gate says open from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. whenever I pass there, it is closed anchor. So what we're thinking about redeveloping Bridgetown, I hope that we can get the sanitation service authorities to tell us why we can't use that public facility in Saddle Street. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. We take one more call. You're the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're the air. Yes, go right ahead. You're the air.
Yes. I want to proceed with, preface my presentation with this preface. Proceed with caution, let wisdom prevail. And by means of a bit of history, Arlington House in St. Peter and the Masonic Lodge in Spray Street, which I think formerly housed the Harrison College. The buildings once earmarked for demolition. These survived Hurricane Jeanette. They also survived after much public outcry and common sense prevailed. Recently, we have seen the demolition of Nightingale House as if by stealth, and that has really blighted the notion of honoring our national heroes. I could see Llanowern Towers restored and promoted as a celebration and promotion of black entrepreneurship and black history, but sadly, that structure was also demolished. This brings me to the NAS building. Can it not be used for the purposes similarly outlined for the charity building? Student and young professionals, apartments to generate much-needed revenue and bring life to the city. Indeed, the use of the old NIS building for city apartments can benefit, indeed go hand-in-hand with the enhancing of Golden Square, Clement Payne, Freedom Park. Also, student relaxation, reflection, study, indeed for celebrations that are appropriate. Again, in all that we do, when we speak of development and restoration, we must proceed with caution and let wisdom prevail. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any comments, gentlemen, before we move on? We have about 9 more minutes before we wrap up the show.
Yeah, well, a couple of comments. First of all, this $10 million to restore, that's an astronomical amount. I would have thought nothing more than two. So good grief, that's where you need competitive tendering.
Right.
Just get some contractors, go in there, say this is what you're going to do, and let them tender. And then whoever is most confident on the lowest tenders, then choose that way. Don't just choose the most expensive. I don't know if that's what they did, but as I said, $10 million.
Well, that's the figure. That was the figure.
Shocking amount
remember.
Of money, right? And that sort of justifies doing nothing. When you get these massive amounts, then you say, oh, well, they can't afford that, and therefore you do nothing, as opposed to go and spend maybe $200,000 or $300,000 and get the thing back in operation. I think on tall buildings, we sort of missed the boat on that. When we should have been building tall buildings, because I'm an advocate for tall buildings, let's go and build 30, 40, 50, 100 stories, I don't mind. Let's go as far as we can, as the foundation can accommodate. But when building was cheap or relatively less expensive, we decided for some reason that we're going to limit building to 4 stories. So Trinidad went up there in their 10, 20 stories, and we are stuck here with our 4 and 3. Can't get approval for anything else. And then suddenly someone decided that was such a lunatic idea that we changed. We didn't explain why, but we allowed some buildings to go higher. But that's not how you should, it should be a rational approach. Why must it be limited to 4? But if no discussion is it's 4 because I say it's 4, then that's not how you should be doing things. So, as I said, we missed the boat on tall buildings, and now we have to catch the luxury cruise liner. We've got to pay through our teeth to go and build tall buildings. That's an unnecessary cost for the country, and also on developers. They should have been allowed to build tall once it met whatever criteria. Just let us know what the criteria are and let people meet it. The fellow said that we should let our children build for us. I mean, we should build for our children. Let the people stay at school and let them learn, right? And let us build for them. And therefore, they will then have the same thing. They will build for the next generation. And then the next generation will build for their offspring. And that's how it goes. Right. To try and change up what's going to be going on for thousands of years of development. To say, no, let our children do it. Let us all sit down and let our children make a whole bunch of mistakes. No, let the children learn. Let us teach our children how to do it. Right. And maybe how to do it better. And therefore, they can. That's how the country advances. I think I'll leave it there because I may stray on to say something, loosen the lip.
George.
Yeah, so I
In my first time on Down the Brass Tacks, the first time hearing somebody directly accuse me of thinking like an old man. I think you summed it up correctly, that we are making the point that the whatever vision there is for Bridgetown and Barbados in general has to be take the young people in into consideration. They are the future, and they have to live with our decisions that we make. You know, we're talking about building buildings and high rises and developing a tourism sector and so on and so forth. But you know, one of the underpinning resources of Barbados development has been access to potable water, and that is becoming a serious issue.
That's right.
For us. We have not behaved like a water scarce country. And we continue to not behave that way until the power goes and all of a sudden everybody knows what people in St. John have been facing for the past few months. You know, no access to water. That is going to become a more pressing concern in the very near future. We lose a large proportion of the water that we generate and desalinate and pump to leakages in the system. So if we're talking about building more buildings, we have to be cognizant of the impact it's going to have on the limited resources that we have already. Now, the issue of what we do or what could have been done with the NAS building in terms of renovating it and rehabilitating it, when you gut a building like that, you then have to look at what it's what its potential uses are going forward. You don't, you know, the caller made the point about not knocking out structural walls. I think Mr. Phillips and Mr. Marshall would know very well that you cannot knock out a supporting wall, but there are a lot of those walls are non-structural. Within that envelope that you're working with, you have to then design a layout that can facilitate the changing services that need to be delivered. And that, in a seven-story or six-story building, right there next to your largest commuter hub, that is a gold mine for opportunity. For the ability to turn that into something that the persons that frequent the area can access and that live in the area can access for services, for education, yeah. For you know,
gold mine.
Whatever resources you want, that then becomes a revenue generating facility. I'm not so sure that a park, however pleasant it may end up being, is going to give you the same sort of a return for your money. It's a large investment just to knock it down. And how do you recoup the monies on that? I don't know, with a park.
And I should note that construction rubble has no value.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, yes, I think the... Forgetting about the specific buildings and parks and whatnot that we're talking about, I think it's important going forward that we concentrate on regenerizing and revitalizing Bridgetown as a whole. We should not focus on cost, but we should focus on the cost-benefit analysis. It may cost you more, but in the long run, the benefit to the country and the people could outweigh the additional cost. So a holistic view is required. The concerns that have been expressed in the press about the historical aspect of Bridgetown can need to be taken on board. The economic driver to generate multi-story and high-story buildings is a reality. The horse has bolted, I'm afraid. We have to move forward. So we need to find that delicate balance to preserve the history and heritage of Bridgetown while still embracing the future for the economy for all.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Colonel Brown, you have the last word.
Okay, very quickly. I obviously agree that there need to be ongoing revitalization processes going on for Bridgetown. I think Barbados is a special place. There's no other place in the world like Barbados. But we do have problems. And I actually think that our problems stem from the fact that we suffer from poor organizational effectiveness. We have good resources, we are not actually putting them to effective use. That is what needs to be solved. BAPE's position has been and continues to be that we need in Barbados to institute a new national commitment to the development of a culture of world-class professionalism in all areas of national operations. we need to use our best people at their best, at world-class standards, to do the things that need to be done. Too many ad hoc decisions are being taken. We are wasting good resources and good people. I actually think that the solution to all this is for our government to spend its efforts on the development of professionalism at all levels in Barbados. That's where our leadership should be focusing their efforts, and then allow those professionals to act at world-class standards with world-class ethics to do make Barbados the outstanding, unbelievable place that it actually can be.
Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Brown, and I'm Sanka Price. And I thought this program was useful in that one of the main things that came out is the need for a long-term vision, something that people can buy into, that everyone can buy into, that Solutions Barbados, the Democratic Labour Party, and the churches, the architects, the engineers, every sector of this community can buy into. They don't all have to completely love it, but they'll find some elements of it that they can agree with, and together we can work on SS Barbados, and we can all roar that boat in the same direction. Clearly, we don't have that consensus right now. We have a vision. We are still at a loss as to whose vision it is, and clearly we need to be able as a people to speak in one voice, because this is the only country that we have, and we have to develop it in that way. So I hope that you all listening up there would have been able to recognize some of the main points that were made. And over the next few days, as the plans are unfolded, they're outlined in different ways, we will be able to make our input right here on Down to Brass Tacks. Before I close this program, I must congratulate our fellow cook moderator, Mr. Peter Wickham, and his marriage. All the best to you, Peter. You can read about it in the Sunday Sun, of course. This is Sanka Price on behalf of Dennis Johnson. Thanking you. Bye-bye.